Snyder. Dylan. I can't you.
Thank you for tuning in to another fun episode with your favorite Mouska Moms, Lori.
Hi.
Jennifer.
Hello.
And Juliana, that's me. Episode 21 is all about what everyone's talking about, COVID, and what traveling is going to be like during this time. So get your cocktails ready. You're going to need them. And brace yourselves, because here we go. Jen, what's our cocktail for today?
So our cocktail for today is something that we're not going to get in the parks, but we're going to make them ahead of time to kind of give us a little voodoo magic to make sure that we actually make it on our vacation and home again. It is inspired by Dr. Facilier from The Princess and the Frog.
He was the bad guy, right?
He was the bad guy, but he was also the voodoo maker.
So we're selling our souls to the devil for a Disney vacation.
Yeah,
worth it.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes, I am. Worth
yes.
it.
Yes.
So this drink sounds like something that Juliana's going to either love or hate. She's going to hate it because there's rum. She's going to love it, though, because there's bourbon.
I have never thought about mixing the two, and I don't know.
I don't know. It sounds interesting. It sounds very heavy. I don't know if I'm going to love it, but if the rule is that I have to drink it in order to give myself some good juju to be able to make it to Disney, then I'm going for it. So here it is. It's the Dr. Voodoo drink. You're going to take 2 ounces of spiced rum, 1 ounce of cherry-flavored bourbon, 1 ounce of white chocolate liqueur, and either some ginger beer or root beer. You're going to stir everything over ice and then fill it with the root beer or ginger beer. So on the one hand, it sounds a little refreshing. On the other hand, it sounds a little bit heavy. I don't know how I feel about it, but again,
I'll take a sip.
I'm desperate. You'll take a sip of mine, which is funny because you're going to be leaving from France and I'm going to be leaving from New York. So
I have a really
something on the plane for you. I don't even know. So that is our drink. We have no news for you guys this week because this episode is pre-recorded because summer and travel and all that kind of stuff. So if you want to see to hear the news for the week so that you know, make sure that you're in the know, then visit us on Facebook at Mouska Moms, a Disney podcast, and you'll get all of your up-to-the-minute news there. But let's move on to our topic today. Lori, lead the way.
All right. So we are going to talk about our next episode in our series as we plan for our October trip to Universal and Disney. We've already booked a resort. We went through our dining. So now we are going to talk about how things will be different as we travel during the wonderful time that is COVID-19. So we are going to go through kind of talk about what's different, how we need to change some things, what extra things we need to bring with us. So I think we'll start with the most, I guess, basic and kind of thing out there is the mask. We need masks. Me being from Chicago, from Illinois, we've been wearing masks since, I don't even know. A long, long time. So I have a few masks, but now that we're going to Disney and Universal, I feel like we need to get some Disney masks.
I need Harry Potter masks. I've already ordered some from Etsy. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, are ours coming in the mail too?
Oh, no, they're not.
No.
BYOM.
Where am I going to get? So I went to Disneyland Paris and they were not selling Disney masks. And I'm sure they have like some liability reason or whatever for why they weren't doing that. But I'm super disappointed. Where am I going to get Disney and Harry Potter masks?
Does Etsy deliver to you?
You can do like European vendors on it.
I would do that. Honestly, I didn't love the masks on Shop Disney, and Lori had some issues with sizing.
So I ordered them when they first came out. They had no child and adult sizing, which probably should have given me the red flag right there. But I had ordered small for my kids, medium for myself, thinking they'd be good. They came, the small legitimately barely fits over my 2-year-old's face. The medium just fits over my 6-year-old, kind of my 8-year-old. So yeah, their sizes are real bad. I would say the masks are pretty good. Their sizing is just horrible. And once it takes like, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks to get these, you know, by the time you try them on and they don't fit, it's frustrating.
I've had good luck with Etsy. I'll put the link for the shops that I used for my Harry Potter and my Disney ones. I haven't gotten them yet, so I don't know about sizing, but I've gotten other just everyday masks from Etsy, and I've had good luck so far.
Yes. Well, since you did not purchase them for your other Mouska moms, I think you should share the link so we can go ahead and take a look at them.
So we can be twins.
Yeah.
Twinning. Yeah, they're cute. I'm excited. I'm excited. And it looks like we're going to be wearing masks for a long time. So I didn't even feel bad about buying them because it's not like I'm not going to wear them every day here too. But
no.
And speaking of every day, you definitely want, like, there are guidelines, like CDC guidelines about how often you should be wearing them and that how often you should be washing your masks. So you're going to want to make sure this is like the big thing that's going to be changing with packing for your Disney trip. You're going to want to make sure that you're packing a ton of these masks for each person in your party. And I would even throw in a thing of like that travel woolite, just so you can wash them in there, especially if you're going in the next couple of months when it's still super hot in Orlando and you're like sweating all day in those things. Yuck.
So question, if your mask is dirty and you only have one, the little Lysol spray can you spray those with that? Does that help?
Yeah, I guess, but then you're going to be smelling that all day.
Some of it smells okay. If it's,
well, I wouldn't want to be breathing in whatever chemical that is. Just bring extra masks. Just bring like 5 or 6 or 20, whatever, cotton masks. Bring paper masks if you need to.
I would bring a bunch. And honestly, like I've done that, washed them if I haven't been ready to do a load of laundry yet, which I have 6 people in my family, so that never happens. But you can wash them with the woolite in your sink and then let them dry overnight and they'll be fine the next day.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah. And I think the other ways that your packing is going to change is that, I mean, I always bring hand sanitizer anyway. I'm kind of weirded out and anal retentive about that, but I don't usually bring Clorox wipes, but I think I'm going to be bringing some like in my carry-on so I can wipe down the airplane area.
You know what I like to bring instead of Clorox wipes? I like to bring wet ones because you can use those on your hands and then you can use them for surfaces too.
Are they strong enough for surfaces also?
I heard no. I mean, I always, since I have the young ones, I always have wet ones and diaper wipes constantly on me. But I heard that the diaper wipes, like, don't...
Diaper wipes don't have anything. But I'm talking about wet ones, the antibacterial hand wipes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those I think are good. The antibacterial ones are good. I mean, I've always...
I think they're good for surfaces, too. So then you get, like, a twofer.
I guess I'm going to be honest, like I'm not really at all worried about my safety in the parks. It's the airplane is the thing that's really freaking me out.
Absolutely.
So I would rather just shove a bunch of Clorox wipes in a Ziploc bag and have like those heavy duty things to wipe up. Like I don't want to touch anything. I almost want to travel in a hazmat suit. And I think my flight's like about 3 hours door to door from Albany to Orlando.
Yeah, mine's about 2.5. And it's, I mean, the Clorox wipes, I think, you know, wiping down everything, especially on airplanes. I mean, I used to do it with the 2-year-old because the 2-year-old puts his mouth on
everything. Yes, that's true.
Regardless. So usually now I just have to remind myself to bring it even though he's not coming with. I think the Clorox wipes also come into play when it comes to getting in the hotel room.
Yes.
I used to work at hotels, and I can tell you, wipe down those remotes. Just don't touch them. The glass, I think they've taken them out now.
The remotes are disgusting.
Yeah, the remotes are gross. The glasses that are in hotel rooms are gross. Just don't touch them. And the light switches. I'm a big Clorox wipes all on the light switches. So I'm hoping they're wiping down some of that. I think they are now. But I think Clorox wipes in hotel rooms are big too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think definitely those high traffic areas, the doorknobs, all that kind of stuff, I think it can't hurt. It sounds like I said, I'm really not worried once we're there.
Yeah.
I'm mostly worried in the actual airplane and in the airports, just like the airplane has that recycled air. It has, you know, I don't think that their standards are as monitored as they are. Like everything coming out of Disney in particular has me really not worried at all about being in Disney. And even Universal, I'm not that worried, but you better
worry about the airplane once. Yeah, I don't worry about the airplane once I'm on it. I'm definitely going to want to wipe down my seat, even though I know they go through with the misters and all that. I'm going to want to wipe down my seat and anything I touch on the airplane, and I'm definitely somehow going to manage to not use the toilet for 15 hours.
Good luck with that.
Good luck.
Maybe you're not going to want to have the Dr. Voodoo cocktail on the airplane. That's my mouse tip of the day.
Yeah. So the bathroom situation is a problem. I don't worry about breathing the air on the airplane so much because they supposedly like filter the air, blah, blah, blah. Because otherwise, like, think of how sick
you're definitely
you get
not
every
holding
time you
your
fly.
Breath. You're definitely not holding your breath for 15 hours. So I guess you're right. I think it's more like the anticipation and the thinking about it that's got me a little weirded out.
I guess
out,
as long as – but if there's someone sitting like right freaking next to me, I will have a panic attack. Like, so – you know, it could be
that's not happening.
Girls, I could show up at the gate and find out that the flight is crowded and be like, sorry, guys, not coming.
I mean,
it could happen.
It could happen. It could happen to any of us. But honestly, I don't think so. I don't think there is much travel going on right now. And I mean, I don't know.
That's the thing about this whole episode. We were talking about that earlier is like normally when you plan one of these trips, you have all of this research to go by and you have these patterns to fall back on and we all sort of study Disney, right? And like, and what time of year is this is going on, and all the things to consider when planning a trip. And here I feel like we're going in blind.
Yeah, which again is why we kind of feel like it's so important for us to go, because this sounds like it's going to be the new normal for a while. And we really need to know for ourselves and for what we do as well, you know, for our listeners, we need to know what that new normal looks like, because
I'm excited to find out, right? Let's write it then. We're going to write it. Let's do it.
Yes, I am excited because, again, I will say it again, I'm really not that nervous for once we're actually there.
No, I always said if I could get to Walt Disney World, I would feel perfectly fine. My issue is getting from Illinois through Florida and getting into Walt Disney World. But once I'm there, I'm more than fine and feel more than comfortable. Like you said, it's planes or driving or however way you come down. It's a risk.
Yeah.
But once I'm there, I will feel very comfortable.
Right. And then my big thing, of course, is whether or not they're going to let me as a New Yorker into Florida. So I don't know. There are definitely a lot of factors and all that, but a lot of changes, like what Juliana was saying, a lot of changes to our regular game. Like we know Disney like the back of our hand, but right now there are a lot of questions that we're just going to have
sort
to
of like,
kind of experience for ourselves.
It's thrilling to me though. Like it's sort of like a big thrill to go into this knowing that it's going to be totally new and different. I mean, obviously the feelings and all the excitement and all the Disney is going to be the same, but the fact that the whole process is totally different and, you know, it's kind of fun to go in without any preconceptions, I guess, is the word.
It is. And just like the thought of there are no fast passes right now.
Yeah.
And nor do you need them, apparently. And that to me is like, what do you mean no fast passes? How are you going to get it? But it's not an issue because from everything that is coming out of Disney that we're reading and hearing is that the crowds are so low that literally fast passes are unnecessary and you still are getting to see everything you want to see and do everything you want to do, with some exceptions, obviously, like some of the attractions are closed, like the nighttime shows and all that. But it's that to me is like a Disney trip with no fast passes. Are you kidding me? Yeah. How's that going to work? But I'm excited to see that because
it's I mean, think it could be fantastic. Is it everything I'm dreaming it could be? Is it going to be like I'm just going to walk around Disney without crowds and just walk on whatever rides I want? And okay, so I won't be able to see the Festival of Fantasy Parade, which is a fave, but you know, I can do everything else. And then you can see where the details.
We might not be able to do that, but we might be able to get a fantastic picture of the three of us in front of the castle.
Exactly. Like you can savor the details a little more. So I just, how long is it going to last, these low crowds? And I mean,
I don't think it's going away anytime soon. I think that they are being very cautious with their rest of their 2020 bookings. Mm-hmm. They took away all of the parties, the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween and Very Merry Christmas parties, which
and you
were
think
huge
that's keeping draws. Yeah. But the thing is though, Jen, like I also think that Universal predicted this, and that's why they never even had a reservation system or anything. Like I don't know how much of the low crowds is because Disney's controlling crowds or people just aren't going.
It might be a combination of both. I don't think it's a bad idea to have the reservation system. I think it gives them one more check in their checks and balances.
Well, they love to collect info. They need to use the info.
Exactly. And it was really easy to do. I mean, we just changed our whole itinerary because of dining, and it took me 2 seconds to do.
I love that we did that, by the way. If you all don't know what we're talking about, listen to previous podcasts where we talked about our dining plans for our upcoming trip, and we totally switched. We completely pivoted because it didn't work for dining.
Well, when you say it like that.
I love it though. I love it. I love it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It was like, no, we need to be hungry enough in Epcot, so we had to change things.
That's really funny. It's awesome. Really funny when you say it like that. I love it. We're so cool.
So yeah, no fast passes though is totally going to throw me off. And then again, dining too is now 60 days.
It's crazy.
As we've learned from our last one, some aren't quite open yet. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for the ones that are open.
That really took me by surprise. The fact that, I can't pick from everything whatever I want get up at 6 a.m. and book it. Some things are just not happening.
Luckily for us, though, our wish list is so long that it really didn't affect us. We're still doing all the things that we wanted to do that we talked about in previous episodes. We're just, there's no way we could have done all of them anyway. So we just had to pick and choose from the ones that we're still able to do because of openings. But that's a huge game changer for a lot of people, the fact that not everything is open. It's not just that there are no more fireworks and parades and stuff like that, character meet and greets, and some of the restaurants are closed, and there are only a couple of character dining experiences that are open. And even that, they're so changed and different from what they were like before pre-COVID. So there is a lot to consider, and it really is going to be, like you said, a totally new Disney trip for us. So I'm excited because it's not just Universal that's going to be new for all of us. Disney to a point is going to be really, really different.
And that's one of the things I'm excited for is, what has happened sucks. The procedures they've had to put in, it's not all great. But I want to kind of see what they've done. I want to see how things have changed. I want to see what things work. And maybe there are some things that, you know, they decide this works better and we'll keep it this way. One of the things I've heard is the dining reservations. People didn't like it 180 days out. They felt it was too far in advance. Now that they moved it to 60, maybe they keep it at 60.
Maybe.
I'm not so upset about that change. I like that.
Yeah. I think like silver lining, it's kind of a nice reset. Planning Disney had gotten really intense, which of course we love to do, but you know, there was so much forethought that went into it. And maybe this
And let's be honest, you know, like planning dining 6 months in advance, I don't know about you guys, but how many times did I change those plans in the course of 6 months from my original thinking 6 months prior because, you know, things opened up or we wanted different, like you guys, like we all did, we wanted to visit different parks on different days. And yeah, so it's, I don't know, it's not all bad. I definitely also am really curious to see how efficient they are with, you know, they, I hate the security screenings. I've always hated them. They're such a pain. I love the fact that my youngest is old enough now that I don't need to bring the stroller and the sippy cup and the diapers and blah, blah, blah. So it makes going through security a lot faster. But now I'm really interested to see how efficient they are with now you have to go through the health screening even before you go through security and then you go through the gates, you know? I'm excited to see that kind of stuff and to be able to comment, you know, because of experience. Oh yeah, it was no big deal. It was easy. It took 2 seconds. You did this, you did that. All these unknowns.
Right.
That I'm excited to see.
Right. Yes.
But speaking, I mean, I think all the unknowns like that right there is going to be a huge one. I think we're definitely going to have to keep that in mind when we're getting up in the morning and going for breakfast before we hit the parks. The parks, the hours are very, very adjusted now. And I think it's because of this next comment. The transportation is going to be, you know, they have to maintain social distance on the buses and the monorails and all that. So you're going to want to give yourself a whole lot of extra time to get to the parks, I would imagine. That's the thing I love about the Skyliner.
Yes. The Skyliner, I think, will help save time. I'm not going to lie. I was pretty excited when I saw the opening for Epcot was 11 and Hollywood Studios 10. Yeah. Going as an adult trip because I was like, holy shit, I get to sleep in. This is awesome.
I know, right? I'm excited for that too because when do you ever sleep in? Never.
Exactly. So
I mean, the last time I went with my family to Hollywood Studios was when Rise of the Resistance just opened and we were at the park at 5 a.m.
So oh my gosh, I remember texting you.
Yep. Right? It was crazy. So this is nice. And then the cool thing about the Skyliner is that inherently it makes you social distance. Like we were there during Christmas week and we never rode in a Skyliner with anybody else besides the six of us who are in our family.
Yeah.
Because they just don't fit large numbers of people anyway. And it's still, I mean, that thing moves. So that one's going to be easy. I think the monorail is – I mean, the monorail is always a crapshoot, but the buses are what make me nervous. I think that's going to be interesting.
So the buses make me real nervous too, because usually if I got frustrated with the buses, I would do the minivan.
Yeah,
Minivan's not running. So then I'm like, well, is Uber and Lyft running?
That was exactly what I was going to ask. What about Uber and Lyft?
Because sometimes those buses, I mean, it is a free transportation. That is what you have to keep in mind. But gosh, those buses can be very frustrating.
Yeah, and we don't use minivan because that tends to be more expensive and we don't need the car seats anymore. But we have gotten real spoiled with Uber and Lyft, and that is a really good question. We're gonna have to try it when we're down there because I use that a lot.
Yes. And see, with needing two car seats, minivan was my jam.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All I used because we needed two.
Yeah.
So at one point we needed three and we just kind of fudged the age of the oldest. That was our jam. So I'm assuming and hoping that eventually they will bring those back.
I hope so.
Those were huge.
They were really nice. And the minivan drivers are so knowledgeable and I like those also, but they were a little bit more on the expensive side, yeah. So we just used regular old Uber or Lyft, but I'm curious to see if that's allowed. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah, so we'll have to see about that one. For Universal, we're pretty much all on property, so we get to take
– Yeah, but you know what? Our plan for Universal was to Uber from the airport to the resort.
We use Uber from the resort to Disney.
Yeah, I think those are so good.
I think that's fine. I mean, I know here we use Uber all the time. You just can't have anyone sit up front. So if it's three people, you all have to sit in the back. And they have
– Which is fine.
They have barriers. You know, they also like have set up like shower curtains. Here they set up shower curtains in their cars between the front and the back seat. Yeah, some of them get plexiglass. But, you know, because it's Uber. It's just some dude's car, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I'm sure that there are protocols that they have to follow now, but as long as I can still take my Ubers, because I like those.
Honestly, like another silver lining, and I was going to say this when we were talking about hotel rooms and things, is you can kind of bank on things being cleaner to the level of cleanliness you would have liked them to have been before. They might not be germ free, but like, man, every time I get in an Uber, it smells like it is. Has just been shampooed. Like, everything is clean. Everybody's cleaning all the time, and that I enjoy.
Well, that is good. That's look at all these silver linings.
I hope that there are lots of people out there that can find some silver linings, because I know it is not easy.
I think also with transportation, my wheels are turning. It's not really an issue for us because we're doing Universal first. But if we were going to Disney first, we would do the Magical Express, obviously. But right now, it's important to note they're not doing the baggage delivery right now.
Yes.
On either end of your trip. So
you can't just check in either.
Yeah. So pre-COVID, you were able to just get off your plane and get onto the Magical Express, and then Disney would be in charge of collecting your luggage and delivering it to your resort. Now you need to collect your luggage before you get on the Magical Express. And then the same with departure. Before, you were able to pre-check your luggage and, you know, hang out all day and then just get yourself on the Magical Express and Disney would take care of the rest. But now you're not able to do that. I think you can still store your luggage, I'm sure, with Bell Services and then go about your day, but then you'd have to collect your luggage at the end of the day and put it on the bus yourself when you're taking the Magical Express back to the airport.
So you would definitely need to allow for extra time for that.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I've ended a couple of days, especially when I'm departing in the evening, at a restaurant, at a different resort, or even at a theme park, where I would just jump in an Uber or Lyft from there and just head directly to the airport. So it's definitely, you know, it's a little difference. Magical Express is not my favorite coming to the resort. I feel sometimes the luggage gets put elsewhere or gets delayed very heavily.
I love it. That's like my favorite part of the trip, especially with six of us, to not have to go to baggage claim.
I will say with the kids, it is nice because it's less things you have. I will say getting to the airport, getting on the bus, I love it. I love everything about it. When I get to the resort and I'm like, oh no, something is in this. I need to get my bag. And 5 hours later, I'm like, oh, now I don't like
it. Right.
So I have anxiety when I don't have my stuff. Yeah. I have anxiety when I don't have my stuff. But
I do not.
I've never had to use Magical Express when I've gone to Disney with my kids because we've always driven. The only time I ever used Magical Express and the luggage delivery service was when I went by myself for our trip last year. So, you know, by myself, it was like awesome. It was no problem.
It's a totally different trip in every single aspect when it's just adults.
Yeah. So,
and this included, like, yeah, that's an issue, but it's, I mean, hardly an issue because it's just me. So big deal. I go down to baggage claim first and get my bag and then go to the bus. I don't really care.
Yes.
But yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine.
But the part about not being able to check it in on your last day is less fine, because we even talked about, like, you know, maybe if your flight is at this hour, you can still have breakfast before we go. But no, I have to check my own bags in at the airport.
Yeah, but they're still, Magical Express is still picking you up 3 hours in advance.
True. So you're going to have plenty of time.
It's really not a big deal. Like, if we had all day, which I don't think we will because my flight's super early, we could just leave our bags with Bell Services and do what we would normally do, as long as we're back in time to grab the bags before we have to get on the bus for our Magical Express time. I think it's fine.
Everything's fine. Another question is magical. So in before times, if you were living in like some dystopian novel, in before times, they used to pick you up 3 hours before your flight. Are they still doing that? Or are they now saying, well, no, since you're having to check your own bags, we're picking you up, you know,
no. My understanding is it's still three.
Yeah,
it's still for three. You, it would be four because you're international.
Yes.
Fancy. Just FYI. You're fancy. You are fancy.
You're so jealous.
You're high maintenance.
All right. So we've talked about transportation. We've talked about Magical Express. Since we rebooked our entire park reservations, I think we should talk about the dining, especially when it comes to quick services, because we have a lot of that put into place. And now it is all mobile ordering, which, by the way, I love.
Yeah, I do love mobile ordering. And it's not required, but it is encouraged. And my understanding also is if you don't do mobile ordering, there are cast members in the quick service locations to assist you with contactless ordering.
Oh, okay.
But I love that feature on my app. I love the fact that when I was there last time, I needed a Dole Whip. I just needed one. It was so hot. I needed one. But the line for Dole Whips was, you know where the Dole Whip Aloha aisle is?
Yeah.
It was past where the Swiss Family Robinson was. The line was so ridiculously long. So I took out my app and I mobile ordered and then just kind of like waved at everybody as I walked to the front of the line because my Dole Whip was ready.
I know. It's fabulous. But the last time I was there, which was a while now, not everything on every menu that's offered was available for mobile ordering, which I didn't understand. Like, I wanted a Hey Hey comb, but that wasn't on the mobile ordering menu at Aloha Isle. I had to, you know, it had to be just a Dole Whip. So, you know.
Apparently they, because now they're really, really encouraging people to do it, they've really streamlined it. So now you can make requests, like you can have them leave off the ketchup for your sandwich, and you can pay in all sorts of different, obviously you can't use dining plan points anymore because there's no dining plan, but you can charge it to your room. You can use a credit card. The only thing you can't do is cash.
I mean, I had assumed it was just a matter of time. The last time I was there, I was really disappointed in the options with the options and the user interface of the mobile ordering. So, but I would imagine they've made it better.
Silver linings.
I was going to say, that's one of the silver linings where I think some of the quick services weren't on there. Some of their options weren't on there. It wasn't as customized as what it could have been. And this kind of forced them to bring everyone on to mobile ordering and bring all your options. So I think that part's awesome. Because like you said, Dole Whips, man, I can get that very quick when mobile ordering. It's fantastic. And I feel like a queen walking up with no line and just grabbing my Dole Whip.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I had to wait for my Hey Hey cone, okay?
But unless, so the one new thing, which I don't think it's a deal breaker anyway, but we should note it. So last year when you used mobile ordering to order your lunch at the restaurant, you would be able to order and then click the button or whatever, and then go find a place to sit and then send your designated person down to collect the food. Now, apparently because of social distancing and because they want to monitor the crowd levels inside the eateries. You're not allowed to even go inside of the restaurant until you get that notification that your food is ready to be picked up. But finding a seat, you know, by the same token, finding a seat isn't an issue because there's lower crowds, and I guess they have cast members all over the place to help you with to your seat and all that kind of stuff.
So. I like this too, though, because even if, you know, say eventually it does get crowded in a few months, keeping people from sitting down when they don't have food saves table space.
So here's the other side of that.
Oh, here we go with the mom and the baby. Yeah.
When you got babies, those babies need to sit their butts down in that table so a mom can go get all that food without having to cart the three or four babies, because all these restaurants don't allow the strollers inside as well.
But with mobile ordering, you don't have to cart them inside to get the food, right? So you just have to, they can run around outside until the food is ready.
Right.
Correct. And then you kind of, we got angry at one place because I wanted to go sit down with the kids. We mobile ordered, but my husband was waiting for the mobile order to get it. And they wouldn't let us sit down until our food was ready. And I was like, I got that. Then I guess we'll go stand outside. But then you get in the fact of he didn't know when the food was ready. And then he got the food and then he had to come bang on the window.
Right.
And, the food was ready.
And this was at Disney?
This was at Disney.
I'm surprised.
Yeah. So it is a definite... It's a logistical difference when it comes to having little kids trying to figure out, especially the little ones, trying to cart around, you know, 1.5-year-old on your hip with two other ones that are running around and not listening to you. You know, it's definitely a different logistics. But I think, you know, like you said, the mobile ordering definitely helps. You can.
And I think it'll be interesting this time also, because when you did it, it was more like a perk, but now it's more like a necessity. So I bet it's a little bit more streamlined even from then. The other thing to consider, though, on those that same line is, you know, a lot of times in the hot weather months, we use those indoor eateries as like an escape from the heat. And it's important to note that you will not be allowed to do that right now.
You're the problem.
Right.
You're the people I was talking about.
So this goes into the fact that they've brought these relaxation zones out.
Yes.
And the first ones that have come out, they were all outdoors. And everyone's like, oh, great idea, blah, blah, blah. Then the next ones that came out were actually indoors. And people start throwing their hands up in the air. But if you actually start thinking about it, just like you said, they're now blocking you from going inside to get air conditioning unless you order food. And for the people that want to save money and not order food, they still need a place to go in and get some AC.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, they keep them 6 feet apart. And
oh, so you can take your mask off in there?
Yes.
Oh, see, I think if you have AC, you have to leave your mask on. That's the trade-off.
Yeah. See, you can take them off. They have you spaced out, though. I think it's even. I mean, they said it's more like, you know, more than 6 feet. It's like 6 to 10 feet tables apart.
Another thing to make a note of for us to check out, because I can't visualize that. But again, I think that's why they're being so vigilant about keeping their numbers like way lower than.
No, I mean, if you're sitting in a restaurant, you're 10 feet away from somebody without a mask on.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
So that's basically their premise, was that, you know, they, and I think I like that action, because they could have just sat there and been like, no, you want AC, you can come in here and pay for food. But so they were like, no, you know, let's get them an area to go in and get some air conditioning without having to spend the money.
I will say,
and also with paying, you know, having to pay for food to go into air conditioning, they also instilled that rule in Epcot recently because of the food and wine, that you can't eat and walk at the same time.
Yes.
You have to be seated if you're taking your mask off to eat.
Will be honest, that's the one place I'm a little scared for the rules, because I'm not entirely crystal clear on that one, because I'm like, if I'm walking around,
it's not clear. Because I thought, like, as long as you physically stopped your body and moved to the side and took your mask off to take a sip or a bite, that was okay. You can't, because there's not enough places for everyone to have a seat somewhere.
They out more places.
I was just going to be playing musical chairs.
It's going to be a day.
Wait, so there's
of
no garbage
chairs.
Can top.
That's what I was
anymore.
That's
oh
what
my
I was going to
say.
That's like a rite of passage.
Best memories off the garbage can top in Mexico.
I have all of my
food, sounds like my a spring food, break.
I have all of my food pictures from Flower and Garden where my food is sitting on top of the garbage can. And I'm taking the picture before I'm
This is like the only place where you would feel it's okay to eat off at the top of a garbage can.
Exactly. Yeah, totally clean. It's a miracle I don't have COVID.
Well, you haven't been to Disney in a while.
Well, I was there right when, like, the week before they shut down.
That's right.
So, I think the only other note that I have about dining to keep in mind is that your condiments are going to be different now. So there's no more going up to that awesome condiment bar at Cosmic Rays or Pecos Bill to load up on everything.
This is a big deal for me.
I agree.
Because, you know, I'm a Columbia Harbor House girl, but sometimes you want a little more bang for your buck and you're like, we're going to go out to Pecos Bill and we're going to load up on that toppings bar and we're going to get two meals out of one.
Yes. Amen. Not anymore.
No. Sorry.
We're going to have to eat creatively in the Magic Kingdom now.
That was eating creatively. I don't know what else to do.
I mean, eat out of the box. Like, I don't know.
I don't know. No. Yeah. No.
Maybe we're just going to have to go to Columbia Harbor House.
I do love that place. Boo-hoo. I know. So sad. We do too. That's one of my – it's my go-to. I go there every time.
And I actually want to walk up the stairs to see this floor everyone talks about because I've never seen it. I just want to see it.
Yeah. Oh, so we definitely have to do that. There's no other quick service in Magic Kingdom that –
No,
is better.
So I have to say, though, the last time I was there, I got at, where was it? Storybook? No. I'll have to look and see where it was, but you can get tater tots.
Oh,
Friar's Nook.
Yes.
Oh, my
I never got to try those.
So good. And, like, if you want to feel bad about yourself, go and eat one of those.
Those were on my list.
I felt like such a pig afterwards. I'm like, ew. I just finished that whole thing. Like, I licked
so good.
It.
I'll share it with you next time. Those have been on my list. Instead, I ended up last time getting the hot fried chicken and waffle at Sleepy Hollow.
Okay.
Really good too.
So I don't want to tell you when it was that I got to have that. That was when you guys weren't allowed to stop for food. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I just saw? They brought back that Peter Pan float this year.
I love that Peter Pan float. It's really
good. So I feel like if you eat that, which is so light and refreshing, while you eat your disgusting basket of cheese and potatoes.
Oh my gosh, cheese and potatoes are my two favorite food groups.
Right?
Oh my gosh.
I think we just gave ourselves permission to eat that.
But you have to sit down because you cannot walk around and eat them.
Nope.
So on the subject of masks, I do have to say, so I went to, you know, we did a podcast about it. I went to Disneyland Paris a couple of weeks ago and it was like 80 degrees and I wore my mask the whole time. And I was kind of thinking in the back of my head, like, and I think we even talked about it on the podcast. Like, it really was not a big deal. Like, give me a break. Well, I was out of town in a crowded tourist destination recently, and it was 92 degrees and humid, and I had that mask on, and I was ready to punch somebody for some fresh air. So
great. I feel like that's a warning, Lori.
I know. Here comes the rage.
No. I'm just saying, like, I didn't have a whole lot of sympathy for, like, the, oh, but it's so hot in Orlando, I'm wearing a mask, and we need rest areas. Like, I was polite about it, but I thought, okay, whatever. But I get it now. And
I feel like some of it's like a mental game. Like, if you keep going, I'm hot. I'm hot. Oh my God, this is hot. Oh my God.
Absolutely. But I'm saying, as someone who thought that was bogus, it's not. It's just not.
No, I can see that. I'm a little nervous about that because I haven't worn my mask in long doses. Mine have all been very quick. And the one time it was outside in the heat. I went to a greenhouse to buy flowers for outside, and I couldn't do it. I had to keep going back to my car to take my mask off take little breathers
because
it was so hot in there.
Maybe after a couple of days, you get used to it.
My thought is we are going to be so excited to Diagon Alley and to Disney and see the castle that you're going to
completely
forget about it.
But again, I extra masks because I lost my most favoritest on our most recent road trip. Oh. So buy extra masks, bring them, have a cache of masks.
Yeah, and I think we're going to be running on adrenaline and alcohol, so we'll be fine. It's all fine.
All right, so I think we are good.
I think so too.
Talking about our COVID plans for our trip. What do we have for the Mouska tip?
Who's doing that, Juliana?
Sure. So in keeping with the theme of traveling during COVID, our Mouska tip today is just make sure you know what the travel rules are, the travel bans and restrictions in your area. We know that Jen, because she's a New Yorker, is trouble. And I can say that because I too am originally a New Yorker. Nobody else say it will hurt you. So she is trouble, so she's not allowed to go to Florida without quarantining. Am I right?
You are right. Yeah. And I'm also not allowed to come back to my state without quarantining.
Right. And I, even though I am legal, I am not allowed to come back to Europe until I have a negative COVID test in Orlando. So just keep these things in mind. You never know. Be prepared. I'm going to have to find out where to get a rapid COVID test in Orlando in October. We'll find out. We'll figure that out. So you've got to do the same. Make sure you're aware of whatever restrictions are for your area.
Yeah.
And that's it. Take us out, Lori.
All right. So next week, we'll be talking about all things of Universal, what to do, what to see. So please chime in with your recommendations on our Facebook page, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening and having a drink with us this week. Tune in every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for new episodes. Mouska Moms are Disney vacation planners. Visit our Facebook page, Mouska Moms Podcast, for daily information or to book your magical vacation. These Disney moms are signing off, and remember...
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. M.I.C.
See you real soon.
K.E.Y.
Why? Because we like you.